Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already, it's December 14th. We're like a day away from the middle of the month. It's so crazy. I love it. We're getting so close to Christmas. What are we, 11 days now? So whatever anyone needs to do, do it now, because it gets worse and worse along the way. But I hope everybody's doing well. I have to give you guys today's Dream Theme Thursday. And I had someone come to tell me that she was not having like these good dreams for a long time. And she just thought that that's just the way it was now as she was getting older. She said, wow, you know, for the last 6 months, literally for the last 6 months, I've been having really, I wasn't happy. First of all, I was upset about something, but I was dreaming like all these dreams of just never finishing things, of people being upset with me, of people saying things about me that weren't true. And I felt like I was always fighting everyone in my dreams. Whoever showed up, I was fighting them in my dream, but I was also their victim. And she said, and I had a really big problem and I solved it. And she said it was really, really hard to solve. And I said, well, what was your problem? And she said, well, I had a boyfriend, and I really, like, love him. But he wasn't good for me. And I knew that he was going to drive me nuts for the rest of my life. Was it anything that I could say was wrong? So I felt bad to leave. And I felt really guilty about leaving, but I left and I kept asking God to stop me when I'm vulnerable from making any decisions, from deciding that I should do something and go back, and almost like I was going to be the sacrificial lamb. I loved him. I wanted to be with him. I cared about him, but he had certain behaviors that he couldn't help, and he was just always really sneaky about everything, and that drove me crazy. And even the stuff he was sneaky about wasn't that big. I could almost picture myself tolerating it. And my dreams, my guilt was so big and so strong that I realized later on that all the people that were attacking me in my dream were different versions of me for not accepting something from someone or not forgiving them or not feeling like I could stay there to hold them up. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is so fascinating. What a relationship just between feeling guilt and what it brought out in her dreams. And she said, you know, she said, on the other hand, you know, I do miss him, and I could go back, you know, to scary world, and I could see her talking herself back in. And I said, well, what do you want to do today? And she said, well, I wanted to tell you the rest of the story first. I said, oh, great. So she told me that the last 2 weeks of her life, she doesn't have those dreams anymore. She goes, it's the first time since that time that I've had happy dreams again. Dreams about my life. Dreams about what I want to do in my life. Dreams of meeting somebody who's more compatible to me. And I go, wow, you know what? Sometimes, we don't wait long enough to let ourselves heal from things. Because that's why I understood what she was talking about all of a sudden thinking, well, wait a minute, you know, he wasn't so bad and I still love him, even through all of the silliness. But look at how long it took her. It took her about 6 months. And she had to walk away, even though she still communicated, maybe a text here and there, maybe a discovery letter sending back and forth, and they would discuss it. But it took her that long to really see that no matter what happened between them, she still loved him. And then I thought, look at how her dreams, which she didn't even, I mean, par for the course is what she felt about not dreaming great dreams. She's just like, oh, wow, these, like, really stink. And how come I keep waking up remembering these dreams? And I'm not crazy about how I feel when I wake up after these dreams, and on and on and on. Imagine. And now she's settled with it. And she's really thinking about her life. She's really defining what she wants. And when she turned that corner, all she did was turn the corner in time. Now she feels empowered. Now she feels really sure. And I thought, God, our guilt is so deep. When we feel like we can't hold someone up, or they're doing things that we don't know how to deal with, or inside we think something's wrong, all of that. And yet, with time, she got to see why. As her dreams became clearer, she grew her own wings. A lot of times we feel like we have to make a decision, yes or no, yes or go. We don't know how to live in transitionary periods of time emotionally. We react, we get upset, we don't know how to deal with everything because of the pressure to make decisions quickly. But time truly, really does heal. And it gives us hindsight, and it gives us everything we need to see who we are. But I just had to talk about her because she just amazed me. I thought that was so awesome, that coming out of whatever it is that you think, my gosh, I have to take a stand. It doesn't look like a place I need to take a stand in. You can't really put your finger on what's going on, but I just don't feel right, and I don't know why. And she was willing to not feel right for a length of time. But that patience was her reward. At the end of all of this, she has a stronger stand mentally within herself. She feels like she can take care of herself. Like, wow, I got this. I can handle me now. It's very, very cool. And she's not that old, so she's got a lifetime to live with this knowledge. And I just thought that was the most awesome thing. I just loved every minute of it. So now I have another dream. This is a dream that somebody had, and it's an anonymous dream. So let's keep it that way, and let's go on and talk about it. So here it was. I was in a home where you had to pass through homeless people in order to enter. Then I was in my brother's home. He passed. It wasn't his home. It was like a tropical paradise in his living room. He was sitting in a chair, very comfortable, and my other brother was upset, waiting for us to notice his home next. I didn't see my brother there, but I knew he was waiting. Then, out of nowhere, my eldest sister was on a scooter outside, and my mom was her passenger. I was looking through the window, so this is all in the family. We've got two brothers, mom, and sister so far. My sister couldn't control the speed and was going faster and faster. My mom, who transformed into my son's maternal grandmother, leaned over and gently laid on the boardwalk off the scooter. My sister, now alone, accelerated even faster, and now she didn't want to look. I was now somehow next to her, floating, and asked for her hands, but she was too scared. I kept asking, but she kept closing her eyes, waiting for the impact, but it never came. When she was about to give me her hands, I woke up. Nadia, I was awake and asleep during this dream. Then I saw three magical twinkles like stars twinkling ever so beautifully in different areas. I knew it was my family saying hello. How could I prevent myself from getting scared at these visions? It was so beautiful, but I was so scared to truly enjoy the awe of it all and be ever so grateful. I think what scares me is really seeing them and possibly passing over before my time. Love you so much, Nadia. There's a lot in that dream, but there's a lot of connectiveness. This doesn't mean you're leaving. It means that you can feel and see and acknowledge that not only do people not leave you, but to stop living in the fact that they have left you. They're all letting you know they're there, even to the point where you're interacting with them, where you can see them on a regular basis, and they're letting you know that there's support for you, that they're just like goofballing around in life. All these different energies, brothers, sisters, mother. But who was the one helping them? You were. You were floating, trying to help your sister on her scooter, who believed she was going to crash, but you knew she wasn't going to because your hands were going to go on top of hers and help her with the scooter. But that's to let you know that that's what it looks like when they're helping you. That they're the ones around you. That their hands are superimposed on yours. Their love is available to you. Their world is open. When we lose people, even if it's one, and there is a connection, the connection strengthens when they leave. My connection to my mother, I was, I think, and I'm not just saying this because I'm like one of six kids and I need to have my spot, but I was the one, maybe the second, because my other sister lived with her, who spent the most time with my mother from when I was a kid. She would always talk to me. She spent a lot of time talking to me. When we'd bake together and I would help her clean the house. And I remember when I got married and I was moving to California, I felt sorry for my mom because I thought, oh my gosh, who's going to help her clean? Who's going to help her when company comes over? Who's going to help her do the wash? Who's going to help her? Who's going to help her? And I felt bad for leaving because I was truly a big part of my household. And after I moved here, I would visit all the time. When I had kids, she'd come and stay with me for like 6 weeks. I'd go back, she'd come back, we'd go back, we just went back and forth. And it was like we were together just as much. And even with all of that, when she passed away, I felt even more intensely close to her. And in my dreams, I still remember right away when she died, it was right when I came back to California, because I was in the bedroom of California, and she kept coming, like one night, second night, third night, you know, she's waking me up all night and I'm seeing her and I could feel her and, you know, she was just all over me. And then I remember the third night, I go, oh my gosh, Mom, you can't keep waking me up like this. I have so much things to do when I'm awake, you know, because I would get so excited. And I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And she didn't come for a while. And I was like, why did I say that? Oh my gosh. And I didn't realize the value of her visiting me. And it was interesting. She did come after that, but not the way she did when she first left. It was crazy. It was crazy. But at the time, I didn't even know that much about these things happening to us or why. But when you have a dream like this, that's like fairyland. That's like every single last morsel of souls that you know, living or past, letting you know they're supporting you. But look at how our mind works. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be leaving. That means I'm going to die because I'm around all these souls. But instead of thinking, hey, they all got together to support me, to take care of me, to love me, to care about me. Imagine. Just imagine how much support, how much love, how much caring, how much knowing about us, each one of us, exists around us that we don't even acknowledge. It was something Christ said to me. It was in the beginning. And he said to me, you can't see the air. Right? I get it. Can't see the air. But can you live without it? No. Think about that. We can't see the air around us. We can't live without it. It's the invisible thing. No one can package it. No one can sell it to us. No one can own it. People have tried. Every time we try to destroy it, it cleanses itself over time. We can't see it. But without it, we can't live. Souls leaving Earth is truly not a big deal once you leave. Once you leave, all of a sudden, Earth looks pretty darn easy. It's harder to live here than to leave here. So the support that comes back to us is in that knowing. Everything we think is hard and we can't do and this and that, that's easier once we go back home because we look and we're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of this? Why didn't I think of that? We as people have turned life into an obstacle course. Pay for this, pay for that, get this, get that, stuff, stuff, stuff. And then we even get storage to pay for the stuff, 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 and that, all this stuff. It's amazing what we have done and accepted along the way in our lives. So when you have dreams like this, leave with the power that those dreams are giving you. With the perspective those dreams are giving you. When I got in the car accident on Saturday, I can't tell you guys how thankful I am for that accident. And every day a new reason presents itself why. But there was a person that I don't even know, someone I know knows them. And I got a message from his wife. At first, I didn't get it. And I knew I had to see this man. I just knew it. There was nothing in me that didn't know it. I just knew I have to see this man. I got in touch with someone and I knew and I thought, and even till now I keep thinking, oh, because of this and because of that, and I can't wait and I'm just excited. I need to see this man. And yesterday morning when I woke up, I have a message for the man. A message. And I wrote it down. I can't even remember what it was. Because somewhere in my brain, that accident brought it to the surface. So yesterday, the insurance called me and I, you know, they record you and you have to tell them what happened again. And so I told the man what happened. I'm driving. The car was at a full stop on the freeway. The mother and the daughter in the accident both told me they were not going to lie. I sat in the car with them and they said that to me. Yesterday, when the recording finished and the man started telling me how much coverage we have and whatever, and everything's fine and everything will be covered and whatever, whatever, I'm listening to all of this. What happened was, believe it or not, he told me at the end of it, the mother and the daughter got an attorney, filed claims, medical claims. Their car, and I have pictures of my car and their car. Mine, they didn't determine it yet, but I think by this weekend, will be totaled. There's no way. It crunched. And theirs is nipped on the corner. Their car did not even move from its location because their car wasn't moving to begin with. But they now say that they were just driving and that I hit them, that they were driving, moving in their vehicle. Now, I know and they know that's a lie. They did not tell me that. They did not do that. That is not what happened. But they made a decision between Saturday and whenever they went to see an attorney and retain an attorney and try to get medical money out of this. That's what happened. But what happened to me when I heard that was the cooler part. Because I heard that and something in me sank. And I go, oh, wow. That mother just taught her daughter to lie. Forget the car accident. That stuff comes and goes in life. Whatever I needed to get out of it, I'm still getting it out of it. And I'm forever grateful for things that happen that don't look like they're supposed to be that way. Or people say, oh, you know, you got in a car accident. And I just know in my heart what's going on. I'm good. But when I heard that, oh, they're like that typical, just get what I can while I'm going around. And then I thought, but they're here and now. They're not thinking past the money they're going to get and what they're probably going to spend it on. But the girl, I don't think is 16 yet. I don't know how old you have to be to have your permit, but she just got her permit. And they made a point of telling me they weren't going to lie. And I felt so good when I heard that. I felt happy. And they lied. And now they have to perpetuate that lie. They have to live in not feeling good for that money. They have to talk about the accident every day. They have to go see doctors. It turned out I had a concussion, and I'm good. I was sleeping all the time, and I was getting nauseated. And, yes, there were parts of the accident I couldn't remember, and I didn't know those were symptoms of a concussion. But my a good friend of ours and my daughter pushed me to go to the doctor, and I went, and not yesterday, the day before, and I got home at like 11:30 at night from the hospital, and they, okay, so now I know, okay, this is what happened, and yes, I have a concussion, and I'm good. But I didn't even tell the insurance that, not for any other reason than my insurance covered it, and I wasn't putting out a lawsuit. I know that by this Saturday, a week after the accident, I'm getting better and better every day. It's just less foggy, you know. But in other ways, I'm really clear. But then I thought about the other girl who came to me to tell me about how she had all those crazy dreams, the guilt-ridden dreams for 6 months, and how she's only had these great dreams for the last 2 weeks. And then I thought, oh, I guess these people are going to get her guilt-ridden dreams. How do you deal with yourself when you have to convince yourself something's wrong when nothing's wrong? And why would you bring that to your life? Because we are programmed to think that things don't work before we could think that they do. In this anonymous dream we have, there's so much fun going on in that dream. There's a tropical paradise in a living room. There's a brother that passed that you got to see. There's a mother that you got to see. It's like the whole family, maternal grandmother of your son, your own mother, your sister, your two brothers, and you are all together having fun. Nothing happened. No one got hurt. And at the end of it, you think you're going to die. Instead of, oh my God, I got to see everyone last night. Winter Wonderland, right there. Isn't that cool? It is cool. There is always a light in everything we do. When we choose that light, then we get to live in it as well as it being there. You get to know it's there. And when you know it's there, you get to feel it. And when you feel it, you get to live it. And when you live it, it shows up in your life. There is nothing to fear in this life but the decisions we make that take us down a road that we will eventually have to go back to the fork in the road and repave it with love. I was talking to my son last night about how these people took this route. And I said, you know what? Think about this. This girl right now is between 15 and 16 years old, and her mother just taught her to take this route. Her mother just taught her to do that. They were the victims. And now they've taken that role on and put it in their entire bodies and minds. They took this energy and decided to give this energy out of all the energy instead of saying, hey, thank God we're all okay. Thank God we're alive. Thank God this. Thank God that. They didn't do that. They're going to walk around saying, oh, we got in a car accident. Oh, my back hurts. My head hurts. My arm hurts. My leg hurts. Everything hurts. Oh, my God. And you got to go to these doctors and they have to prove that something's wrong. And after what I saw and what I knew, I can tell you now, there's no way. But I said, now this girl's going to grow up. And 10 years from now, she's going to meet somebody, some boyfriend or some man. And she'll probably be married and maybe start to have a family by then. And she's going to have this in her history. And her mother didn't even know or care enough about her daughter to not put this in her. Instead of saying, hey, thank God we're okay. Let's go on. Car's going to get fixed. We're good. Everyone's good. Don't worry about it. It's going to define them. Life is truly interesting. 6 months of guilty dreams the girl had really taught me a lot about a relation between the decisions we make, why we make them, and giving ourselves time. Time to heal, time to grow, time to see why. But we're so reactive and we want everything now. And if you want everything now, you'll get what now has to offer you. That's what you'll get. You guys, I love you so very much. I will see you tomorrow and Friday. I love you guys. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.